Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my first guests are Rick Edwards here in the studio and Daniela Borgiali on the phone. Hi, Daniela.
Hey, Shelley. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, Daniela.
Rick and Daniela are here to talk about Tango Juno and some upcoming workshops. So my first question is for Rick. Tell us a little bit about Tango Juno.
Well, Tango Juno is a name we have for a informal group of tango enthusiasts who've been dancing together for several years now. And we meet once a week for a milonga at a local dance studio. And periodically we get together and organize a workshop where we bring in an outside instructor to teach us some new moves and inspire us.
What is a milonga?
A milonga is two things. One, it's the name we give to a dance that's equivalent to a square dance or a ballroom dance. It is the name of a dance event. Within that dance event, we dance three different tango dances or types of tango, one of which is a milonga, which is a specific kind of dance, danced to a specific rhythm of music with rather specific moves.
Interesting. And Daniela, tell us a little bit about yourself. First of all, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
Ooh, I've always wanted to go there.
Oh, you should.
I think I will someday. It's on the list. So Daniela, okay. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a dance instructor. What's your connection with the tango?
So I've been doing dance most of my life. I grew up like a lot of little girls doing a lot of ballet and gymnastics and things like that. And then it wasn't until graduate school. I was in graduate school getting my Master of Fine Arts in Dance and Choreography at Arizona State University. And then there was a class on Argentine tangos. And I thought, oh, this should be a breeze. I'm going to go take this. And that was the beginning of the rest of this chapter in my life anyway. So I've been dancing my whole life. I've been doing tango for almost 20 years. And it's kind of funny. My father is from Argentina, but there's a whole historical aspect to this. There's a generation of Argentines that never really participated in Argentine tango as a dance form because of what was happening with the country at that time. And so my father is part of that generation. So it's funny, like I'm the gringa, I'm the American girl who dances Argentine tango, and the rest of the family in Argentina, they're like, what's this crazy girl doing? So that's kind of in a nutshell my background. And then I started teaching tango maybe 18 or so years ago, and ended up teaching a bulk of my career, probably 11 or so years at Arizona State University. And they had a class that was accredited class. So students from all over the university with different majors could come and take my class. And so I taught Argentine tango levels 1 and 2 for many, many, 11 years, 10 years, I think, over in Arizona. That was my training ground, basically. I've come up with a very specific methodology, and I still train with my teachers and things like that. So I'm definitely a teacher.
What are some of the first steps, pun intended, when you're teaching a tango lesson to someone who's never done it before?
For me, the most important, there's so many layers to Argentine tango, specifically as a social dance. So when I'm talking, and what Rick is also talking about, is tango as a social dance, because what you see on TV is often choreographed and it's stage tango, and there's room for that in the world. But what I specifically focus on, specifically and also coming to Juno, is how to get us social dancing. In Argentine tango is considered the walking dance. We say if you can walk, you can dance Argentine tango. So one of the very first things I like to do is just get people really comfortable in their bodies walking around. Hmm. So then the next aspect is building off of walking. So for me, everything starts with side steps and forward and back steps. And from there, we build this whole structure of Argentine tango, which is also improvised. So it's always scary to think, how am I gonna be interesting all the time? But it's literally one step after another, and we build the tango social dance from those forward and side steps. That's the best way I can describe it.
That's a very good description. Thanks. We also have some pictures on our website, ktoo.org. If anyone wants to check those out, I believe you might be in a few of those, Daniela.
Very good.
And I'm going to turn this towards Rick, so if he wants to comment on what he's seeing there.
Yeah, those top two photographs are from Daniela's website, and the bottom photographs are various members of our group in different contexts. One's from a workshop, and the other is from our weekly milonga at a friend's house.
So, Rick, what brought you to tango?
Well, I'd been taking ballroom dancing for a number of years. I've always liked dance. Never considered myself to be very good at it, but I'm persistent. And tango is always hanging out there as one of those exotic, somewhat intimidating dances that I always thought was interesting, but really was above my dance level.
Inaccessible, maybe.
Exactly. And so if I have a message today, the message to people is anybody can dance tango. How far you go with it, how sophisticated you get is up to you, but anybody can dance tango and have a great time doing it.
Yes.
But the reason I dance tango now is because of Pat Bellick, who's one of the inspirations and driving forces in our little group of tango dancers, who has taught a couple tango classes at the university and also taught informally within the social context of our group. A lot of times at the Milonga, we'll have 15 or 20 minutes of lesson or review of steps that Pat or other people within the group will lead, and then we'll practice that, and then we'll go into the regular Milonga where we dance the variety of other dances as well.
And hard to mention tango without mentioning tango music, very distinct sound. For you, what do you feel more connected to, the dance and the movements or the music itself, or is it both? Daniela, you can answer that one first.
You know, this is such a great question, and it's a question that comes up over and over again, even amongst tango dancers. I was just having this conversation yesterday with another colleague who we've both been dancing quite a long time, and I think tango music is one of those things that grows on you over time. And I'm talking about this traditional tango music comes from the 1940s, and you're thinking, why the heck are we dancing to something from the 40s? But it's very specific in terms of its time signature, but also in terms of time. It's 3 minutes. Most of these tango songs are around 3 minutes long. So there's a gauge. There's this time length to it. And then when you're dancing in a social dance, they put three or four. In a milonga, they'll put three or four of these together. So there's a very specific structure to all of this and very specific structure to the tango music. It grows on you. The orchestras grow on you over time, become, for me, more gorgeous over time. Because when I first started tango, I was sort of wary of the music. I mean, the music seems kind of inaccessible at the time. And so with that, I had started with a teacher who was very much, you know, you can dance to anything. So in class, there was everything. Like, there could have been anything from, I can't hear, like, stuff that was on the radio at the time to alternative sounding music, to what they call alternative tango, to all kinds of stuff. So, but I would say I've become more of a traditionalist, I think, over time. Not that I don't use other music in my classes, but the music is really profound the more you listen to it. It's quite beautiful. So I totally tangented off your question, but
that's okay. No, I think you're doing great.
For me, they really are intertwined now, whereas I think before, because I came to tango from a dance background, a physicality background, that that I was much more interested in the movement and the connection between myself and my partner and how to make that happen than the music. So the music definitely came as this second thing, this like third appendage, if you will. And then now it's definitely, the music is such a big part of how I want to connect with my partners that it's really important what I'm listening to. So it's been quite an interesting journey, even in just 20 years. So.
Anything to add to that, Rick?
Sure. I'm a child of the 60s. I grew up with, you know, folk music and rock and roll. And if you'd told me 30 or 40 years ago that I'd be listening to tango music, I would have looked at you with a very dubious expression. But as Daniela says, and it's interesting that we have such similar histories about this. The more you dance to the classic tango music, the more you appreciate the music. There's a great deal of passion, a lot of dynamics, and a lot of beauty in it. And what seemed schmaltzy and kind of overdone to me when I first started hearing it now seems really beautiful and is such a good thing to dance to that my appreciation of it has definitely grown. Now, not everybody likes the classical mm-hmm. tango, and you can dance with the more modern dances as well.
I like the mm-hmm. music myself. I think it sounds
Yay.
Cool. We're going to hear a little, we're going to hear a song at the end of the interview too. But but you're both here today to talk about the tango workshop next weekend. Starts on Thursday. And Daniela, you're mm-hmm. the instructor. Mm-hmm. What are the lessons going to be like?
They're going to be awesome. yeah, I'm really excited to come to Juno. I'll be there next week. I'm starting out on Thursday and Friday with what I'm calling getting started. And for me, really, it's laying that groundwork and getting people comfortable. I think a lot of times what happens is people who come to tango who don't have any dance backgrounds, it's about giving them the space to be okay in their body in this space and time right now to learn something new. It's like a new language. So if you've been sitting at an office chair all day or been pretty not very in your body all day, then, you know, part of it is like getting started means, okay, let's walk around the room together. Let's relate. Let's see what it feels like to actually make contact with another person in a safe space and then slowly build from there. So that's what the first 2 days are going to be, Thursday and Friday. Those workshops start at 7. And I'm really looking forward to building people from the ground up. We're hoping that we will have the mass quantities of new people come to the Juno, come into Tango Juno this weekend, that weekend.
Sure. Now and that you've given this interview, you definitely will.
Excellent. I'm not big on like throwing people into the pool and going, hope you can swim. It's much more that I'm really, I hold your hand and I know you can do this. I mean, this is the thing that I have seen people from all walks of life, all abilities, all ages. I know people can do this dance. And so it's so awesome to build from the ground up. So Thursday and Friday is getting started. Yay! And then Saturday, we start getting a little bit more involved. So when you're walking, if you change a direction, you create a pivot, basically. It's not that simple, but this idea of pivoting. And so pivoting brings in a whole other piece of vocabulary into tango. So we'll start talking about pivoting and what that looks like on Saturday. Saturday afternoon, we're going to take a dive into the tango umbrella. So with that music, as Rick had said before, you've got tango, you've got milonga music, and you have valse. And so these orchestras of the 1940s, late 30s, 40s, early 50s, they created tangos, milongas, and valses that we danced tango to, basically. That's an easy way to think about it. And so we're going to look at milonga timing. So milonga timing is like a 2-4 timing for those musicians out there. It's a little bit quicker, a little brisker. I always say that if tango is like serious, that milonga is the playful part, where if you're not giggling in your milonga, we're not having enough fun. So that's milonga. Sunday, we're going to look at the romantic. So vals, I look at, is romantic. If milonga is playful and tango is a little serious, then vals is going to be our romantic one. Not that that really has anything to do with how we dance it, but it's our three-quarter time for the musicians out there, and done a little bit different than some of the ballroom valses, and Rick could speak more to that because I'm never dove into the ballroom world. But a three-quarter time, and we're going to look at that. And then in the afternoon on Sunday, we're going to start taking all of this information and start moving it into circular movements and our signature step in Argentine tango, La Cruzada, which is a cross. So we have an action-packed week. I'm super excited.
You're just joining me. I'm speaking with Daniela Borgiali, who will be coming up to teach a workshop here in Juneau. And the workshop starts Thursday, January 24th. It ends on Sunday, the 27th. And there is more information online. Rick, where's the best place to find out all the details of this workshop?
Well, a couple easy ways. You can just go on your search engine and put in Tango Juno, and it will bring up enough links to get you to where you want to go. If you're in Facebook, then do a search for the group Tango Juno. And there will be a site there that will lead you to the registration site and to the workshop schedule.
Great. And thank you both for your time today. And I just wanted to make sure we covered everything. Daniela, is there anything else you want to add?
I just want to say that you can find me to access Tango ACCESS because it's accessible. AccessTango.com, both on Facebook or on the web, and I really look forward to being in Juneau for my first time. So thank you, and thank you, Shelley. You should come.
Okay. Well, thank you, too, for your time, and safe travels, Daniela, and here's a little bit of La Gran Muñeca to wrap up the interview.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, Rick is waving at me. He wants to add one more thing. Go ahead.
Yep. The deadline for early registration is January the 18th, and you get a discount if you register before then. So be sure to get on the site and sign up. Come and have fun.
All right. Great. Thank you both again.
Thank you.